Hello, this is Greg LaFollette, recording Intersection Live. Today I'm visiting with David Olson. David is the product manager for CCH Small Firm Services. And today we're going to visit with David about his product, their product. I guess it's probably not just his, but their product, the ATX Tax Compliance Line. Good afternoon, David. Thanks for sharing some time with me.
Hey, Greg. It's my pleasure.
So ATX, it's an interesting acquisition for, as we described, this small firm services, basically a new business division of Wolters Kluwer CCH, formed about a year ago or so when CCH acquired ATX and kind of got in a part of the business that they hadn't been known for being real involved in, much smaller firms with a very different set of needs, and chose a product that was very strong in that field, and you came to CCH via that acquisition, right?
That's correct. Yes, actually, I was with the ATX group prior to becoming part of CCH. Been with that company for about 6 years, so I've seen a little bit of the history as it's grown up, and I obviously have an affinity for it, and think CCH made a real good move.
Well, and I think you probably made a good move by hanging in there with those guys. Now, I do know David from prior conversations, and we've visited many times over the years. I do know that you've not always been in the on the publishing side, the software side. You are a CPA, used to have an honest job, you used to practice public accounting, and so you've walked a mile or two in our shoes, sat in our chair, so to speak. Want to come over and help me review tax returns today?
Definitely. Hey, I miss it. I definitely miss the client interactions. Did that for 15 tax seasons full-time, and then even when I moved on to some other areas of industry, still did some part-time, so I know what it's about.
Well, as you know, I continue to office in a CPA firm, and my throwaway line is that I love the smell of tax returns in the spring, and so that's why I hang out here and try to help a little bit every once in a while. So we're gonna talk today, and it's just a couple of days after corporate filing deadlines. Actually, the 19th of March as we're recording this particular podcast. We're gonna talk about specifically the ATX product line, and it's an interesting thing. I think many of our users might not understand some of the sizing of this product. It's actually quite surprising. Tell me a little bit about the metrics of ATX, and it's not just tax compliance anymore, right?
That's true. That's true. We've focused over the years on the small practitioner market, and I think I can fairly say did it well enough that we've established quite a successful group of customers, with the ATX having been around for about 17 years and now serving approximately 35,000 small tax and accounting practices, which really, you know, we did a recent survey to find out exactly what our customers were like, and found that actually the majority of them are CPAs, enrolled agents, and those types of professionals that prefer the small practice environment.
So, in addition to the tax line, you have a fairly rich and full menu of other things. You've got the tax office and the accounting office. You got names for those. Just give me a quick rundown. If I'm just going to decide I'm going to go into practice, and I call you and I say, David, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be a full service firm. I've got some bookkeeping to do and some payroll to do and some tax to do, and this is what I'm going to do in my office. What can you do for me? What kind of stuff do you have?
Well, That kind of practitioner most likely is going to gravitate to what we call our total tax and accounting office package. And that covers the landscape pretty much from providing you our complete tax solution that we've called Max for a number of years. And I want to comment on that in a moment, but also wraps into it some very cost-effective tax research materials, the Kleinrock line that we've had associated with ATX for several years now, and our client write-up product and our fixed asset manager product and our document manager product. So it pretty well sets you up and gets you ready to go.
So who's Max named after? Max Smart?
I don't know. Back in the brainchild of Glenn Willett, who started ATX, it was one of his brainstorms.
We'd have to go find him and
That's right.
see if he'd share that. That might be a scary thing.
But it is really a good reflection of the nature of the value proposition of the ATX product, being that it provides a total tax practice solution. And I've experienced it myself, having been there. And it's not just a tax season prep product. It's a year-round cover all your needs kind of tax practice product.
Sure, and my assumption is that it actually comes from some derivation of maximum. We'll just kind of leave it at that
Okay.
and move forward. So let's talk a little bit about this tax season with the ATX product. Did you get everything out the door on time? Were you happy with it? More importantly, were your users happy with it?
Yeah, actually, it was our earliest release ever. We were out in November with the ATX product, and live and ready for e-filing season, of course, in January. Probably the one area of frustration for us and our users was some of the spin-off effect from the late AMT legislation. That caused both some perceived and some real issues, particularly when it trickles down to the state level, that some folks either thought they couldn't file, or in a few cases we had a few business state forms in particular that became a real challenge getting through the approval process. So whenever Congress decides to do something like that, you know what the fallout is.
Sure. And some of the states this year, like in all years, caused many of the vendors some heartburn by just plain not approving forms, and a lot of end users don't understand that that's really nothing that the vendors have any control over. There's just some bureaucrat sitting in some state, we won't name any states, but sitting in some state office waiting to approve your form, and they go fishing.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are certainly intentionally slowing down the process, but like I said, it's somewhat of a trickle-down effect. They have their reaction time to what happens at the federal level, and they have a different set of issues. And
Well,
it's become more challenging as more states have mandated e-filing, but then if not everything is approved when people want to start e-filing,
yep, and you have to work with them, so you have to say nice things. I don't, and I won't, because frankly, as a group, they don't have the same fire in the belly that I know you guys as vendors do. They just don't have the same sense of urgency, and but that's a whole nother issue. So you got all these users out there this year, and like, other years, a very high renewal rate, and as people keep coming back to you year after year. Every year you do new things. What did you do this year that they just kind of looked at as a group and went, "We don't like that. That didn't help." What was, or and on the other side, I'll ask the flip side of it too. What did you do that they all came back and said, "Wow, that's just incredible. We love you for that."
Yeah. Well, I guess you asked me the tough one first, so I'll take the tough one first. Probably the one that our customers didn't like the most was we made some changes this year to enhance the security of our processes, both on the customer service website and the software setup process. And we tried like the dickens to, you know, to communicate in advance of the start of releases what those were going to require for users to do. But it caused a few early season headaches with people, you know, just dealing with a new process. And
Sure.
so we, you know, we are certainly looking at ways to streamline that for customers for next year, because nobody wants to cause a headache for anyone just at the time that they're trying to get out the door and get going.
Well, it's too bad that oftentimes the flip side of security happens. It turns out to be convenience.
So we're doing our best to make that as smooth as possible. On the plus side, you know, some of the features that we have had and have continued to enhance are getting more and more recognition and usage, such as we've continually over the last several years done more to ease the customization of client letters within returns. And it's gotten to a point where people are really giving us pretty positive feedback on that. And that's, you know, that's just one of those productivity factors in getting the returns out the door. And then also we've got a couple of things in there, like the being able to create multiple different templates of returns, and really you can save as many different pieces of information in a return as you want, and save it as a template and create other returns off of it. And that's starting to get a little more recognition for the way it can save somebody. You know, take the typical small town example where they do 50 different returns for people that work at a local mill. Well, you can set up all of some of the common pieces of information that you know are going to be on most of those returns,
Sure.
and just create them off the template.
Right, and then you've got the whole thing done. Those are the kinds of productivity enhancers that I certainly like to see, that vendors are starting to build into products, because frankly, all of you can compute a tax return. That was not always true, but today you can all compute a tax return and carry the numbers from one place to a number to another and print a fileable return or e-file it. But getting it through the system quickly when you're doing hundreds and even thousands of returns seems to be the real holy grail. And you've got many users who do fairly high volume returns, right?
They do. We have, you know, certainly users that do up in the, you know, 1 to 2,000 return range. We also have a lot of what I call general practice type of CPAs who, you know, may be serving 50 to 100 businesses plus, you know, 200 to 300 individuals, and just sort of the Main Street America kind of CPA that is doing a broad range of services.
Sure. So, David, you know this product like the back of your hand because you live in it day after day after day. And I know that as you're speaking with your current users and they'll ask you a question or you talk about something and you go to show them a feature, and there's always that one feature that when you show it to them, they go, "Wow, that's really cool. When did you put that feature in?" And you always have to be kind of kind and say, "Yeah, we just added that last week," because you don't want them to know that it's been there for 5 years. What is that feature? What's the ATX? What's the big pop for ATX that most people don't know about?
Well, Greg, I'll have to be honest. As a product guy, I can't resist saying there's two,
Okay, that's
and
fine.
the, and one of them truly is new, and the other has actually been there for a while, like you said. The truly new one is the integration with our new scan and fill product,
Sure.
which you can use to scan, recognize the information on W-2s and 1099s, and have it populate the tax return.
Just
And
harvest the
so,
numbers and put them right in.
right,
Okay.
right, right. So that one gets a real wow when people see that happen. The other one, which is a little more mundane, but really valuable and sometimes overlooked is what in the ATX product we call our check return feature. And I know just from using the product myself over the years that it's something that is so valuable as long as you remember to do it. Because over the years we've enhanced it. It's a diagnostics type of function,
sure.
But we've enhanced it so it provides you severity levels of what's a warning, what's a you gotta fix this, and so on, and gives you a link right to the line where you need to input what might be missing.
Sure.
So that one, when people start using it, they just find it cuts down their recycle and fix kind of process by a lot.
Right, and it's, frankly, it helps them deliver a better product to their client.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
So tell me, let's go back to this scan and fill product. Give me some idea how many of your users tried that this year. Was it a large number or a few percent or?
We had, I think it was around 1,000 this year.
Okay.
that have tried it, and that's with really only starting to sell it late in the year.
Right.
It was actually December when we delivered the product,
right.
And so we've heard some good stories, and I think that we're finding out customers are even more creative than us in finding ways to use it productively. Because as well as populating that data into the tax return, it's also has provided them a quick and easy way to file their what you might call their work paper copies of those documents. Because when it's recognizing the information that's on the W-2, it also can recognize which clients' data manager. Document manager, sorry, using the wrong word, document manager folder that it belongs in. And,
sure.
And so it can drop right into that folder.
So is that, in your opinion, David, is that kind of the long-term future of tax compliance? I mean, we've gone from doing it by hand to filling out big forms and sending them off on a bus to a service bureau to doing them in-house on a mini computer to now a microcomputer to now many people using internet-based kinds of things, and you're delivering products via internet. In the future, are we going to be doing more of this scan and what I call scan and populate kind of stuff? Is that the future?
I guess I would call it the near-term future. I would not see it as the forever future.
Okay.
It's going to, the OCR recognition is getting good enough now that it provides a good solution that will probably be pretty popular over the next few years. Looking further out, we're probably going to see more and more what you might call direct digital integration of information coming straight from third-party providers. That's starting to happen now in some limited spots, and there's some challenges, of course, for preparers because you have to deal with the whole security hurdle of verification of who should be getting which information and those kinds of things. But I think that's probably over the longer term going to kind of supersede even some of what, say, for the next 5 or 8 years might be most prevalent via the OCR scan and fill kind of activity.
Sure, and I've heard that referred to as transitional technology, and I think that's probably a decent way to describe that. So, well, David, I think that gives us a good vision of where at least you think the profession is going to go. I've just made some notes on what you told me on this digital-to-digital thing that was going to happen, 10 or 15 years out. I'm going to call you back in 15 years, and we're going to see exactly whether or not you were correct. But I know that that this year you've got a bunch of users out there that you got to keep happy, and I want to respect your time. So I thank you a lot. I've been visiting today with David Olson, who's the product manager for the Wolters Kluwer CCH product, ATX. David, thank you so very much for sharing time with us today.
Certainly. Good talking with you again, Greg, and wish everybody a good tax season.
Great. Thank you much.